Good evening. This is Pastor Brenda Spann coming to you from the Now Network broadcast. It is truly an honor, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. The Psalms 24 declares, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Oh, bless his name. I'm excited about the word today. Today, we're going to talk about some of the prophecies that was foretold hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. And then we're going to talk about the fulfillment of the prophecies in the New Testament. Again, we're going to talk about some of the prophecies that was foretold in the Old Testament. Now, this is a season now we're observing Lent Week. We're going to be observing the Passover. Also, we're going to be talking about the resurrection, and we're going to be talking about the coming of Christ. I think this is the foundation of the believer. We need to know about Jesus. We need to know who he is, why did he have to come and save us, and when he's coming back, and the things that he did while he was on earth. We need to know this. And we say that we love Christ, and we say that he is ahead of our life.
You know, he's the center of our joy. We need to know about this Jesus. And so because many times you would not get married to a woman or a male if you don't know anything about him, so about her. So you need to know about Jesus. You need to know truly about your Savior. And so today my teaching is going to be on some of the prophecies that was foretold before the coming of Christ and some of the fulfillment that was fulfilled in the New Testament. I'm excited. I hope you are excited as well, because I am so excited about this teaching. I thank God that he has put his word in the Bible for us to study, to show ourselves approved. The Bible says, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, bless his name. So get ready. Get your pencil. Get your papers out. And I want you to read along with me. I want you to write. God may be speaking to you through his word. And I just want you to listen. Listen and then to take in, to, you know, eat off God's word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your rich word. We thank you for your bread, oh God, today. Lord, we ask that you open up the listeners' ears. We ask you that you give them understanding, that you give them wisdom of God, of what you are speaking to them today. Lord, we thank you. You said in your word to study to show yourself approved, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, God. And this is what we're doing. We're studying the scriptures, God, today. Lord, we thank you, and we give you praise, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Again, today, I would like to talk about some of the prophecies that were foretold before the birth of Christ. Now, a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the life of Christ. We're going to be talking about the resurrection. We're going to be talking about his ascension. We're going to be talking about his coming back. So I would encourage you to really tune in every week to this teaching, because you will learn so much about who Christ is. And so the definition of prophecy is a prediction of something to come or a foretelling. Again, a prediction of something to come or a foretelling. Okay, now, for example, the news, Channel 5 is I watch Channel 5 news. Channel 5 may predict or may foretell. Is something that's going to happen, is something to come to happen. So we're going to be talking about the prophecies. So there was many prophecies concerning the arrival of the Messiah. Now, the definition of Messiah is the anointed one. Again, we hear the Messiah name used, and the definition in Hebrew is the anointed one, the one that will come to save the world from their sins. The question is, why did we need a savior? I know many times when I was a babe in Christ, I didn't know all this. I didn't know anything about this, but later on, I began to search the scripture. I began to get hungry for the word. I'm still hungry and thirsty for the word. I just want to know so much about him. And so I say, why did we need a savior? Well, in the book of Genesis, the Bible talks about two individuals that God created, Adam and Eve. Oh, my goodness. Adam and Eve. We know that Adam disobeyed God. And the penalty of that disobedience caused all mankind to be separated from God. We were separated from God. We was enmity against God. When Adam disobeyed God, we became separated from God. Okay? And so it says, Romans 5:12, therefore, as by one man's sin enter into the world, and death, oh my goodness, death. Death, death reigned upon us then, okay? Death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, okay? And so we know sin is what, being disobedient to God. So now mankind have a problem with sin, which only Jesus can fix. Only Jesus can fix a sin problem. So Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, came to be a sacrifice. He came to be a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He came to give his life that he may live and be reconciled, that we may live. Okay, let me say that again. He came to give his life that we may live and be reconciled back to God. The Bible talks about that. He said, I did not come to get ministered to, but I came to minister and give my life as a ransom. He gave his life for me and you. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay, so we know that Christ came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from the penalty of death. He came to reconcile us back to God. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came for us. He came for me and you. And I see a lot of people may be walking in reproach, shame, and condemnation. He said he did not come to condemn you. No. A lot of times that we condemn ourselves, or we allow people to condemn us. But Christ said he has not come to condemn you. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. So we have to learn how to release ourselves from that, because God said he has thrown our sins in the sea of forgiveness and he remembered them no more. It is we that remember our sins. Christ has already forgiven you. God has already forgiven you of your sins. That's why he came. He came to forgive you from your sins. So every day you should have a fresh start with Christ. So in Genesis 3:15, they say, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So Jesus would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus will redeem back mankind. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody need to get excited. I get excited when I know that I could not have saved myself, when I'm reminded all the things that God had delivered me from and what he has saved me from. Oh, my goodness. God is, he's awesome. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty, mighty God. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's take a look at some of the prophecies that was foretold hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and some of the fulfillments of the prophecies in the New Testament. They say he would be the seed of a woman. Genesis 3:15, okay? He will be born of the seed of a woman. And the fulfillment of that prophecy is in the New Testament, Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So now we see here's the fulfillment of the prophecy that was foretold all the way back from the book of Genesis 3:15. And so number two is saying he would be the promised seed of Abraham. That's in Genesis 18:18. Now we see the fulfillment is on 3:25, the books of Acts 3:25. It says, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, said unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. So it says that Christ is going to come through the lineage or the line or the seed through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay? And so we have to know his lineage. We have to know who did he come through? Where did he come from? Where was he born? We need to know these things. It says, number three, he will descend from the tribe of Judah. Now, he was going to come out of, now we know Jacob had 12 children, okay? And his son Judah is the lineage that Christ came through, okay? It says, that's in Genesis 49:10. And the fulfillment is in Luke, the third chapter, the 33rd verse, which was the son. Now, this is the lineage in the book of Luke. Now, they also have a lineage in the book of Matthew. This is from the lineage of Jesus all the way down to Adam, okay? And so it says, which was the son of Abinadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Ezram, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. They trace his lineage all the way back down to Judah. Okay? That is the lineage that Christ came out of. The tribe of Judah. Oh my goodness, he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is the genealogy of Jesus from all the way back down to Adam. So the Bible shows you the lineage that Christ came down from. So we need to know these things. You need to know it. You need to know that you know that you know. And it says, number five says, he's the heir to the throne of David, Isaiah 9 and 7. That was the prophecy that he would be the heir to the throne of David. Now, the fulfillment was in Matthew 1 and 1. That's in the New Testament. We're talking about the old and the new. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay? The son of Abraham. Okay, it says, number six, he was born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Okay, it was a prophecy in the book of Micah, the fifth chapter, the second verse, that he would be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Oh my goodness. Somebody needs to get excited. The house of bread, Bethlehem. Okay, and so the fulfillment was Matthew's, the second chapter, the first verse. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Okay, so we know now where Christ was born. We know that he's the heir of David. We know that he came down from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we know whenever God is designing a rescue plan, the enemy tries to stop the plans of God from going forward. Oh, my goodness. I know many can relate to this. Anytime that things are going good, oh, my goodness, beware. The enemy is always around somewhere. He's always around. That is what he does. He's come to seek. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to cause sorrow. He comes to cause pain. He comes to cause sickness. The enemy is always around somewhere. There would be oppositions that would try to stop the birth of Christ. I mean, whenever God is designing a plan, the enemy is always going to try to come through to stop the plans of God. We have to know that. The book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, says that 15th verse says, Jeremiah foretells the death of the infant boys. Twice the enemy tried to cut off the lineage of Jesus. The first time was when the Israelites was in Egypt, okay? When the Israelites was in Egypt, and the Bible said they was being fruitful and they was multiplying. And the Pharaoh in Egypt, you know, that you know they will be more powerful than him. And so what he did was he told the midwife to destroy all the male babies under the age of 2 years old. Okay? All the male babies that was born. And now we hear the second time, and I have to correct that, the midwife will destroy all the babies that was born. And then the second time, the babies were slaughtered when the wise men came to Herod and told him about the king was going to be born, the king of the Jews. He ordered he ordered the people to kill off all the two years old and down male boys. We know the enemy has always been after our males. We know two times that the enemy tried to stop the Messiah from coming down, tried to cut off. So the enemy, what he does is he tried to cut off the bloodline. We see that with a lot of our males. A lot of our males are in jail doing life in prison. We see a lot of them have been gunned down in the street. We see gang violence. We see a lot of different things that are happening to the males. Oh my goodness, a lot of the males are in prison or either dead. We see how the enemy comes and try to cut off the bloodline. That's why we have to cover our children. We have to pray over them. We got to, train them in the ways of the Lord. And when they're older, they will not depart from them. We have to continue to keep the blood over the doorpost. So when the enemy try to come, he'll just pass on over. We have to continue to stand and pray for our children. Because the enemy is after those boys. He's after those boys. He wants to cut off the bloodline. He wants to cut off the bloodline. He wants to cut off the inheritance of that child. Their seed, he wants to cut it off. And so we want to be able, we need to know that. We need to pray for our children. The book of Matthew, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked all of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He was fearful. He was fearful that this child that they're saying is going to be a king was going to come up and probably would have great power and was going to snatch his position. And so, you know, before he had that happen, he said, you know, I'm just going to kill off all the male child that's under the age of 2 years old. I tell you, he could not stop it because the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and told him to get up and to go. And so we have to be aware when God speaks to us because we never know how the enemy is trying to come up to pursue us. So we need to be quiet and listen to the voice of God. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you need to be still and stand still and listen to the voice of God because the enemy, he's out there roaring like a lion. He just wants to devour our children. He does. I have to say that even within the school environment, we got a spirit of influencement going around in the school. We have to, you know, teach our young boys and girls to be leaders and not followers. Oh yes, okay. And so it also talks about Jesus' ministry was going to be in Galilee. Okay, that's in Isaiah 9, the 9th chapter, Isaiah. Verse 1 and 2, that was foretold that his ministry was going to be in Galilee. And the fulfillment, it was in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 12th to 16th verse. Also, it said that he was a prophet in Deuteronomy 18 and 15, that that Jesus was a prophet. The fulfillment is in John 6 and 14. It's also said that he will be rejected by the Jews, the people that he came for, that God's chosen people. Isaiah 53, the third verse. The fulfillment was John 1:11. They rejected the Messiah. They was waiting for the Messiah, but when he came, they rejected him. They, you know, because they looked for this elaborate king that was going to come and was going to reign on the horses and was going to save them from the oppression of the Romans. And they had no clue that Christ was coming to reconcile them back to God. That was more important than them being saved from the oppression of the Romans. Being reconciled back with God when we were separated? Oh, my goodness. But they rejected Jesus. They said, if this is Jesus, he said, can anything good come out? When Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, so we have to, you know, oh my goodness. Okay, let me move forward. It says Psalms 41 and 9. He said he was betrayed by a friend. How many have you been betrayed by a friend? Oh my goodness. But Christ, like we should have a forgiving spirit. When our friends have betrayed us, we need to just forgive them and keep moving. I tell you, it's best for us. It's best for us, for you to forgive them, you know, than you to hold a grudge. Because who it hurts? It hurts us. It hurts you. Okay? And so it says, he was betrayed by a friend. And we know that was Judas. He was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. That's in that was in Psalms 41:9 prophecy and it fulfilled in Mark 14:10. It says that he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Okay, this was prophesied in the book of Zechariah, the 11th chapter, the 13th verse. And it was a fulfillment in Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 15th verse. Okay, and so it says in Psalms 27 and 12, it was false witness accused him. It was people that lied on him. How many people have lied on you? okay? A false witness accused him, okay? And this in Matthew 26:20-63 was the fulfillment, okay? Isaiah 53:7 says he was silent when accused. He did not try to defend himself. The fulfillment was Matthew 26:60-63. So it said that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, but yet he did not open his mouth. He did not open his mouth. He did not open his mouth because Christ knew his purpose. Like we all should know our purpose. He knew his purpose. His purpose was to come to be the perfect lamb that was going to be slain. He knew why he was going to come. He knew this. He knew the end of his assignment. He knew it. Isaiah 56:6 says he was smitten and spat upon, and the fulfillment was in Mark 14:65. It says, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy, and the servant did strike him with the palm of their hand. They spat upon him. They hit him. They beat him. Okay? That he did all, he took all this for us, for me and you. It says Isaiah 53:12, he was crucified with the sinners. And the fulfillment of that was Matthew 27:38. It says, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Okay? So we know that he was crucified with two thieves. It was a prophecy in the book of Isaiah 53:12. The Bible says that his hands and feet was pierced. That's in Psalms 22:16. The fulfillment was John 20:27-28. He was mocked and assaulted. That's in Psalm 22:6-8. That was a prophecy. The fulfillment was Matthew 27:39-40. He was given gall and vinegar. That was a prophecy in Psalm 69:21. The fulfillment was John 19:29. He hears prophetic words and mockery. Okay, that's in Psalm 22:7-8. And fulfillment, Matthew 27:43. He prays for his enemy. How many of you today pray for your enemy? How many of you today pray for him? Jesus prayed for his enemies. That's in Psalms 109:4. That was a prophecy. And the fulfillment was Luke 23:34. Okay? His side was pierced. That's in Zechariah 12:10. The fulfillment was John 19:34. The soldiers cast lots for his coat. They gambled. Lots are like dice, and they gambled his coat, okay? And that was prophesied in Psalm 22:18, and then fulfilling in Mark 15:24. And it says in Psalm 34:20 that not a bone was broken. See, what happened was the soldier would go by and break the legs of the men that was crucified. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. So his bones was not broken. And that fulfillment was on John 19:33. And he was to be buried with the rich. Isaiah 53:9. So Joseph, you know, he a rich man had a tomb, okay? And he was buried in that tomb. And that fulfillment was Matthew 27:57-60. Okay? I hope you are enjoying the teaching today. And lastly, we're going to talk about his resurrection. His resurrection was in Psalm 16:10. That was a prophecy that he was going to resurrect. Now, all these prophecies was foretold in the Old Testament, but yet the Jewish people rejected Christ, okay? And so the resurrection was foretold in Psalm 16:10, and then the fulfillment was the book of Luke, the 24:36-48, okay? And it talks about his ascension, okay? His ascension was Psalm 68:18, and then the fulfillment was Luke, the 24:50-51.
Oh my goodness, all these prophecies. And I did not read out all of them, but there are many, many more prophecies of Christ. We have to dig out the scripture. There was an old before there was a new, okay? The Old Testament. Now that we have the New Testament. It's the Old Testament, prophesied the coming of Christ, and the New Testament, it reveals him. It reveals everything about him. It talks about him being rejected by the Jews. It talks about him being a prophet. He was a priest, the order after Melchizedek. Okay? It talks about how false witness accused him. It talks about how he was silent. Oh my goodness. It talks about the birth, the virgin birth of Mary. It talks about so many things about who Jesus is, what he done, and and so we need to know this. We need to know that who this Jesus that we're serving. Some people ask about Jesus. Some people say, I know Jesus through my mother. My mother took me to church. My father a pastor. My mother a minister. No, you have to know Christ for yourself. Today, we talked about the prophecies. I really hope you enjoy the teaching. Next week, we're going to talk about the life of Jesus. We're going to talk about our Lord and Savior. I know many weeks I talk about Christ. But I want to get really in-depth in who he is and what he is to you. And so, I just hope you enjoy the teaching. God bless you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the word that went forward. Lord, we pray that you open up the ears of the people. Lord, we thank you that word fell on good soil, God. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless your people with peace, oh God. Lord, we ask that for those that are not saved, oh God, we ask the Lord that they get convicted today and they accept you as a personal savior, oh God. You said that your anger is not slow, but it's patient towards those that are going to repent, God. And we thank you. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all.